So just a quick overview. Number one is the Gemara. What we're basically going to be doing over here is we're going to have four conversations between Rebbe and Antoninus. After we do that, we're going to discuss four stiras that are raised in the Pesukim by the Amoraim. We're going to discuss Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish raises an issue. Who else is it? Ula raises an issue. Rav Chizkiya raises an issue. After that, we're going to go back to more Makoros about Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. And we're going to go through more or less six Makoros for Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. We're going to have a small interlude. There's going to be a minor tangent halfway through to go through a slightly different issue about what happens if a Rebbe deprives his Talmud of Torah. And then we're going to have 14 statements by Rav Elazar. Yeah. So one of the things that we're going to be doing over the course of this is we're going to be defining, every time you have a definition of a word, right? How do you ever know what a word means? You take a look at the context, but you also take a look at the other places it comes up in Shas. So it'll be hard for me to give you a loose translation of one pasuk when we're going to define that pasuk in terms of another pasuk. Let's get started over here. I'm just going to go back for a minute to the bottom of Tzadi Alpha Mouth. Oh, and again, as usual, if you have things to do, if you're bugging out, I know it's late at night, I won't be insulted. Just, if you need to leave, please don't feel bad about leaving. Really, it's late for everybody. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to go back to Tzadi Aleph Amad Aleph. Vishuv Pam Achas Bo B'nei Yishmol. Is everybody with me over here? It's about, it must be about 10 lines up from the bottom. Vishuv Pam, the first one in the line is Tshuva. Okay, this is at the tippy end of Gevi'ah ben Basisa's conversations discussing the right of the Jews to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Vishuv Pam Achas Bo B'nei Yishmol B'nei Keturah Ladun Im Yisrael. So there's yet another time that B'nai Yishmael and B'nai Keturah came. There was in another instance, B'nai Yishmael and B'nai Keturah came together with the Jews before Alexander's Mokdon, Alexander the Great. Amrlo, Eretz Kanaan, Shalanu v'Shalachem. It's both of ours. Eretz Kanaan is both of ours. Tachsiv, Eilu Todos Yishmael ben Avraham. Uksiv, Eilu Todos Yishmael ben Avraham. So goes both. So Amr Lahan, Gvi Ben Basisa, Lachacham, so Gvi Ben Basisa said to the Chachamim, Tenuli Rishos, Ve'elech, Ve'adun Imahem, Lefnei Alexandros Mokdon. So give me permission, I'm going to go and handle the case. Imyun Tzuchuni, and if they are victorious over me, Imrud, so then you'll just say, Hed Yishabon and Tzach, you just beat one of our Hedyotim. Ve'im Aniyan Atzeach, and if I'm victorious over them, Imru Lahem, Torah's Moshin Rabbeinu Nitzach Techem. So Nasul Rishos, so the Chachamim gave him Rishos, He went and dealt with the case with them. Amalahan. So he said to them, Raya, from where exactly are you bringing Rayas to your right? Amrullo. So they said to him, Torah, from the Torah. So Amalahan, Afanilo Avi Raya, Elamina Torah. So Shanemar, what's my Raya? But Ethan Abraham is called Shaloli Yitzchak. Abraham gave everything that he had to Yitzchak. Ulivne Apilakshim, Ashal Abraham, Nasan Abraham, Matanos. He gave Matanos. So here's the rule. Avshanosan Agitan. Labanov, if his father gives a shtar to his kids, that indicates that he's writing over all the property from to one particular son. B'chayav, if he does that in his son, v'shiger zemel, and he sends this one away from this one, so that they have nothing to do with one another. Kum yesh lezeh al zeh klum. So it's impossible that one of them is going to have a tine over the other. Clearly, everything was sent was handed over to one yoresh over the other. Okay, my matanos. So what are these matanos that Avram gave to the Bnei Apalachim? Am Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Malamich Amasul Lahem Shem Tuma. So this teaches us that he gave them the Shem Tuma. What's the Shem Tuma? Rashi says that that's Kishuf, Maisa Shadim. Okay. I saw recently some of the Mepharshim discuss how was it that Avram Avinu could practice Kishuf. Isn't that Mitzvah in the Torah? Don't we know that Avram Avinu kept all the Taryag Mitzvahs? There's various stories that are given. Okay. So let's get started with the new stuff. So here we go. Amalei Antoninus l'Rebbe. So Antoninus said, "Rebbe, we're three lines from the bottom. Atzali alf amid alf. Guf neshama yichol l'dator atzman min din." So Antoninus tells Rebbe, "Well, a body and the neshama are able to both exempt themselves from din." Ketzad guf omer the body will claim neshama chata. They change it to chata. Makes a little bit more sense that way. Neshama chata shemiyom shapir shemimeni harini mutol ke'evin domim bekever. Look how nicely I behave when I'm all by myself without the neshama here to rile me up. It's all Neshama's fault. If I'm sitting here in my grave right now, like an Evan domain, like a still, quiet stone in the Gever, nothing's happening. It must be all the Neshama's fault. When Neshama Omer, so Neshama says, Guf Chat. It's the Guf that sinned. Shemiyom Sheperashman, because it's the day that I got away from that body,
Harini Barakas Ba'avar, I'm behaving nicely like a bird in the heavens. I'm flying around like a bird. Amrlay, so he said to him, Emshulcha Mashal Lama Devardam. Let me give you a mashal. Lamelech Basavadam. Shahayla Partis Na. The Melech Basavadam had a nice orchard. Vahayabo, the Choros knows, and he had fig trees. That's what Rashi explains. Bechoros are te'ine ha-bechoros. These are fig trees. Vehoshev bo shnei shomrim, echad chiger ve'echad suma. And he had two guards over there. One was a lame person, ve'echad suma, one was a blind person. Amar lo. So he said to, Amar lo chiger l'suma. So the lame one says to the blind guard, Bechoros knows, and he wrote, Bechoros, I see very nice fig trees in this orchard. Bo v'harkiveni unavim la'ochlam. So come, ride me over there, let me ride on top of you, and we'll bring them, we'll eat them. So Rachab, so he wrote, Chigar agabi suma, Rachab chigar agabi suma, the Havim va'achum. So the Chigar indeed rode on top of the blind one, and they brought the figs, and they ate them. Le'yamim, ba'bal parties. So the Baal of the orchard comes, the owner of the orchard comes over, Amr lahan b'choros, no say the name, where did they all go? Amr lo Chigar, so the Chigar says, well, I don't have any feet, so it couldn't have been me. I don't have a way of getting there. Right? He's lame. Amar lo suma, and the suma says, well, klum yishli yinayim leros, and I don't have eyes to see, so I couldn't have done it. Ma'asa, so what did the owner of the orchard do? Here kiv chigar agabi suma. He put the chigar on top of the suma, and he donned them together. He judged them together. So, afakadosh baruch hu, maybe neshama, he's going to bring the soul, the zark of a guf, and he'll throw it into the body. V'dano som ka'achan is going to judge them as one. Shenemar, as we have the pasuk in Tehillim, Yikra el ha-shamayim me'al, v'el ha-aretz ladin amo. Right, he will call to the shamayim from above, and to the land, ladin amo. What does this mean? Yikra el ha-shamayim me'al, zu neshama. Right, that's the neshama, which is from the shamayim, from above. V'el ha-aretz ladin amo, zeh ha-guf. Okay. Just an interesting idea behind this whole story that I saw brought down from the, where is it, from the Fei Toar. So the Fei Toar has an interesting shot. He says, what on earth is going on here, this Shachavataria? So he says, there's a Gemara, there's a Sugin Shabbos called Shnayim Shasua, right? If you have two people who do a malacha at the same time, so they're potter. So what's a classic example of this? So let's say you and I pick up a basket and we carry it together, Dalet Amos Rishus Yachad. We carry it from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Yachad, or Rishus Yachad to Rishus Ramban Shabbos. So we're both potter, right? Because we did it in a, well, I guess we say in an abnormal way, whatever it is. So they claim, Shnayim, so the Neshama and the Guf, or the Chigar and the Suma in this case, right, will claim that, we Shnayim Shasua, so we should both be potter. So Kesh Baruch says, no, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is like this. If you have two people who do a malacha together that each one independently could have done on their own, then that's when they're potter. But if they both can't independently do it on their own, then they're not going to be potter. What's an example? Let's say I need to schlep a sofa out of my house on Shabbos. So I can't schlep a sofa out of the house by myself on Shabbos. So if I get another guy to help me, of course we're chayav. But if we're doing something a malacha like carrying a basket, right, that both of us could easily independently do it on our own, then we would be potter if we carried it together, right? So that's what he's saying, that's what the Tan over here was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so they say, or Antonina's Tan is to Rebbe, that really, if I have two people and I do it together, they should both be potter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back, no, that's not the way that it works. The way that, or Rabbeinu HaKadosh responds back, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, it's not the way that it works. Because in theory, can the Neshama or the Guf both operate independently of one another? Can the Chigar and the Suma operate independently? Could they both achieve the same Maisa independently of one another? No. So Memela, they would both be Chayav. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Also, the Yad Rama points out over here from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Neshama and he throws it into the Guf. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put the Neshama and the Guf together for Tchias HaMesim in order to judge Neshama. The Yad Rama. Okay, so that is the first Maisa of Antoninus with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Okay, so let's take a look. Next conversation. Amalei Antoninus le Rebbe. So Antoninus tells Rebbe, "Mipnei ma chama yotza b'mizrach v'shokasmanes b'marav." Why is it that the sun, well, we know what this means. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So why does it rise in the east and set? Why does it head out from the east and it sets in the west? So Amalei, so Rebbe Nokar says back to him, "Ihave ibcha nami have amadli." What are you hacking your trying? He would have said the exact same thing. Would the sun go from the west and head east? So what's going on? So Amalei,
Let me explain to you what I mean. This is what I mean to say. Why does the sun set in the west? The way the Rashi explains this is that really the way that the Bria typically works is that you head out. Normally, you go back to the place that you came from. In this case, it's not going back to the place that the sun's not going back to the place it came from. It came from the east and it's going to the west. So why doesn't it go from the east, head somewhere, and then go back to the east? So he says like this. I'm really healthy coming to the chat. If they mash or cast the matter, why does it set in the west? It shouldn't go to the west. It should head back from where it came. So Amalei, Kedai Lithin Shalom Lakona, because of course it has to give Shalom to its master, to its owner, right? It has to give Shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that celestial bodies have to give Shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Give Shalom.
Yeah, I told you to give Shalom. Yeah, like you give Shalom Aleichem to somebody.
I want it.
So Shanemar, Utzavah HaShemayim Lecham HaShachvim. So we see that the celestial bodies, the hosts of the heavens, will bow to you. So he says back to Amarlei, but Tesi ad Palga Durakia Vititin Shalom. I don't understand. You don't have to go right up to your Rebbe in order to say Shalom Aleichem. Right? You don't have to go over right up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feet in order to say Shalom Aleichem. You go halfway through the sky, you say Shalom Aleichem, you go back home. So he says, Vitesi ad Palga Durakia Vititin Shalom, Vitail, and then go back. So Misham Polim and Misham Ravi Drach. No, the sun can't do that. In other words, the way the Rashi understands that, it's a little bit tricky to understand. I don't understand it fully. But what seems to be going on is that he says, why can't the sun basically just set once it gets halfway through the sky? Why does it have to go all the way over to the west, just kind of stop going from there and kind of set? So it basically says, well, if the sun would abruptly just set, in other words, diminish from view, at that point, once it hits that midpoint of the sky, well, then all the people who are working on the field, they think that they have the rest of the day in order to finish the job because they just saw the sun get up to the midpoint of the sky. The same thing for anybody who's traveling. They think that they have on the whole other half of the day in order to keep going. So, yeah. Let's push on. Okay, so that is the second conversation with the Antoninus and Rebbe. Third conversation. V'amar Antoninus l'Rebbe. Neshama me'emasai nitna ba'aram. At what point is the neshama put into a person? Mishas pekida or mishas yitzira? Is it from the shas pekida or the shas yitzira? What's the difference? So the way the Rashi explains it is that the shas pekida is when the malach put in charge of each tipa of zera, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we going to do with this tipa? Is it going to become a child or not? So that's at that point, the shas pekida, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, let's turn it into a child. Or mishas yitzira, is it from the time that the child actually forms as a fetus in the mother? So Rabbeinu Kar says back to Antoninus, Amalei, Mishas Yetzirah, of course, the neshama is put into the body during the time that the baby has developed in the mother's uterus. So Amalei, Efshir Chaticha Shabbos, Omedes Shlosha Yamim, is it possible for a piece of meat to stand for 3 days, to sit for 3 days, below melech, without salt, vein miserechas, and it's not going to go sour? In other words, a piece of meat can't sit out without going sour for 3 days. The same thing is a rule, by the way, for tipa. For zera, it's considered misurechas that a child can no longer be formed after if it sits for 3 days. So the same thing, he says, well, how's a child? If the neshama isn't put into this tipa, and it's allowed, and the tipa is allowed to sit for 3 days, it's going to go sour. So you can't be right. So, Ella Mishas Pekita. So it's got to be that the neshama is put into the person, Mishas Pekita. From that very moment that the malach brings it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks, what's going to be the story with this tipa? Is it going to be a child? That's the moment that the neshama is put into the tipa. Amar Rebbe, Barazel Lemadni Antoninus. This thing Antoninus taught me, Umikra Masayeo, and he's got a pasuk that supports him, Shenemar, as we have the pasuk in Eov. The whole pasuk reads, "Chaim v'chesed asisa imadi ufkudascha shamra ruchi," and your laws guarded my spirit. That's literally how it translates, but obviously it's a play in a sense, right? Ufkudascha shamra ruchi. So your the moment of pekida is what protected, is what was shomer my ruchi, the neshama in this case. Okay. Fourth conversation between Antoninus and Rabbeinu Akash. V'amar le Antoninus l'Rebbe, me'emas hayitzer hara Sholeit ba'adam. At what point does the Yetzer Hara take hold of a person? Mishas Yetzira or Mishas Yetzia? Is it from the time that the baby is forming in the mother? Or is it from the time that the baby exits the mother? So Amarlei Mishas Yitzira. It's from the time that the baby is forming in the mother's uterus. Amarlei, so he says back to him, Cain, if the Yitzra Hara is already in the baby, at the time that's in utero, Imkain Boi B'meimo V'yotze. Of course, it would just kick, it would compel the baby, the fetus, to kick and just leave the mother. What does that mean exactly? So I saw that it was brought down from the Maharal. Basically says that the Yetzer Hara, the way that the Yetzer Hara operates is that it compels people to behave shelo kaseder. Not the typical, not the norm, not what you're supposed to be doing, not what's right, not what's correct. That's what the Yetzer Hara is compelling you to do. So for the baby that's in utero, the way that the Yetzer Hara would be compelling the baby to do something that's not correct, not kaseder, would be by compelling it to leave the mother prematurely. Okay.
What he said?
So, okay, a quick answer that they say is that that was already towards the end. That was already towards the end. They were twins, and for twins, it's after 7 months or 6 months, whatever. It's after 7 months that they were ready to go out of mother's stomach.
Yitzia is not literal.
What do you
saying?
Mean?
Not literally Yitzia.
No. In other words, at that point, they weren't. It wasn't Shas Yitzia. In that case, it was Shas Yitzira, and that works, right? So Ella. So Amalei. Sorry. So hold on. Let me just backtrack. Shas Yitzira or Shas Yitzia. So it's got to be Mishas Yitzira. So that's the point. I thought you were asking from the Kasha. That's the point where they asked the Kasha from. That's what you meant, right? That's what the Kasha they asked from Esav. Is that what do you mean they were fighting already inside the mother? So some say that it was already built into the Teva, even from the moment that Esav was conceived, that he was going to be that way. Okay, whatever. Fine. So Amar Rebbe, Belrazel Lamadni Antoninus. This thing Antoninus. Tommy Umikram Esayim. He's got a raya from a pasuk. And he's got a pasuk to back him up. Shenemar, as the pasuk, this is by Kayin, right? La Pesach Chatas Rovetz, right? That sin is waiting, it's crouching at the door. Okay. So those are the four conversations between the Rino Kasha and Antoninus. The first one is the Guf and the Shama. The second one is the Chama Yotza, right? Mipneima Chama Yotza B'Mizrach. The third one is, when is the Neshama put into the body? And the fourth one is, at what point does the Yitzhar take hold of a person?
The first one again?
The first one? That was the Neshama, that was the good for the Neshama, that they're able to pass themselves from death. Okay. Okay. Let's push on. So here we go. Now we're going to have the four stiros in the psukim that are raised by the Amram. And you might need to refer to the sheet occasionally just to get a better sense of what's going on. If you take a quick look, even before we read it inside, there's Pesukim in Yirmiyah and Pesukim in Yeshayah that discuss what's going to happen, that we interpret to discuss what's going to happen, the most Tchias Meis. So if you take a look in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, the Pasuk writes, the very first page, Hinini mevi osam me'aretz tzafon, I'm going to bring them from Eretz Tzafon, v'kibatzti miyarkasei aretz, and I'm going to gather them from the edges of the earth, bam iver upeseach, among them are going to be a blind person and a person who's lame. Hara, Violetas, a person who's pregnant and a person who has given birth. Yachdav, together. Kal gadol yeshuvu hena, they all return. Okay. So, what does it sound like from this pasuk? When there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, are people going to still have their moment, or are they not going to have their moment? What would you say from this pasuk?
Yes.
What do you think? That they are, right? Because it says, I'm going to gather them from the edges of the earth, and among them are going to be an Iver, Upiseach, Hara, Violetas, right? There's still going to be people who are going to be blind or who are going to be lame. But take a look at the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Vav. What does the Pasuk write? Oz Yedaleg Ka'ayol Pisech. This is again at that point, right? Tchias Meisim. Oz Yedaleg Ka'ayol Pisech. Then the lame one will skip about like Ayal, like an Ayal, which is like a heart, that's an animal, right? Visaron Lashon Ilaim. And the tongue of the mute one will sing. Ki nivku b'mibar mayim, for the desert has opened up springs of water, u'nechalim b'arava, and the plains have opened up streams. So if I were to ask you, what does this pasuk sound like? That the piseach, the person who was once lame, is going to skip about like an animal, right, like a hart, or that the tongue of an ilam, of a mute, is going to sing. So what does that sound like? Are they going to still have their mumen?
No.
Absolutely not. So that's Rish Lakish's kasha. So let's take a look inside of the Gemara. Rish Lakish, Rami, he raised the following issue in the Pesukim. Kesiv, bam iver upiseach, harav yoledes yachdav, uksiv, az yedalei ka'ayol, piseach, Bisaron Lashon Ilaim, Kinifku Bamidbarmayim, Unachalam Barava, Haketa. So what's going on here in the Psukim? So Omdin Bamumun Misrapin. Hakash Baruch was gonna bring them back, gonna bring everybody back, and they're gonna have their movement, and then subsequently they're gonna be healed. Okay, that's Rish Lakish. Now, take a look at the next point. Let's take a look at the sheets for Ula. So he's going to raise a sphere between two prakim in Yeshaya. So the pasuk in Yeshaya parchav hey, pasuk ches. If you take a look, it says bila hamaves lenetzach. This is again talking about the way that we're going to interpret it, is for tchias mason. So bila hamaves lenetzach, that death will be swallowed up for eternity. Right, u'mocha Hashem Elokim dimha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe away the tears me'al kol panim, the tear from all faces. V'charpasam o yisr me'al kol ha'aretz ki Hashem diber. Okay, but what does it sound like from this pasuk? Is there going to be such a thing as death at that point in time, or is death terminated? So the answer is that it's terminated, right? But if you take a look at the pasuk in Yeshaya, perek samachay, pasuk chat, the pasuk writes, lo yiyah, it's on the second page, lo yiyah misham od, there will no longer be, let's translate it loosely, a distinction so much between a person, a youth, ul yamim, right, a young person, v'zakein, and an old person, asher lo yimalei yasimav, who has not filled his days. In other words, everyone's going to fill their days. Ki anar ben mea shana yamos. For a person who dies at the age of 100 will be like a nar. V'hachote ben mea shana yikulo. Okay, but from this pasuk, has death been terminated, or are people still dying? It sounds like people are still dying, right? Because it says, Kianar ben mea shana yamus. Right? The nar, a person who dies at the age of 100, will be like a nar. In other words, people are living so long that that's considered young, right? Okay. So that's Ula's kasha. So, Zak the Gemara. Ula, Rami, Kesiv bila hamavas lanetzach, umachashem demame apokopanim, uksiv, and then the other pasuk writes, Kianar ben mea shana yamus. Lo yamisham od ul yamim, and now we know from the pasuk that that's kind of presented out of order, but we still get the gist of it. So lo kasha, no problem. Kan b'Yisrael kan ba'ovet kachavim. One is talking about a Jew, and one's talking about a guy. So the guy will die, and the Jews will live. So ba'ovet kachavim my bohas. I don't understand what are guy doing over there. So no, I'll tell you what the pshat is. There's another pasuk. Hanaf dechsid b'hu. That's what the pasuk writes. Va'amdu zarim. And those Zarim, who we're going to understand to be Goyim, are going to shepherd your sheep. And the Bnei Nechar will be your farmers, and they will be in charge of your vineyards. So Goyim, there is a place for Goyim. Okay, that's Ula. Now, Rav Chisda comes along. If you take a look at the next part, it's bottom of page 2. This is in Yeshaya Perek of Dalin, Pasuk of Gimel. The Pasuk writes, it's really at the top of page 3. The parak is just brought down in page 2. V'chofra halavana ubosha hachama ki malach Hashem tzvakos v'har tzion of Yerushalayim v'neged zekinav kavod. So v'chofra halavana, the moon will be disgraced, ubosha hachama, and the sun will be embarrassed, ki malach Hashem tzvakos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reigned. What we understand from this pasuk is that the light from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reign is going to be so overwhelming that the sun and the moon will feel embarrassed. Okay, but then if you take a look in the pasukim in Yeshaya Perek Lamed pasuk Chavav, the pasuk writes, "Vayor halavana keor hachama." The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. "Vayor hachama yeshav asayim." It will be sevenfold. "Keor shav asayimim biyom." That it'll be just like the Shivas Yemei Bereshis. At least that's one interpretation. That's how the Marsha understands it. That the light of the sun is going to be so luminous, and the moon is going to be similar to that of the sun. That's going to be like Shivas Yemei Bereshis. So I don't understand. Is their light? You know, is it very luminous or is it not? So the Gemara says as follows. So this is Rav Chisda's Tira. Rav Chisda Rami. Kesiv v'chafra halavana uvosha hachama ki malach Hashem tzvakos uksiv al yor halavana ka'or hachama v'or hachama yishav asayim ka'or shavasa yimim. So what's the pshat? Lo kasha. Kali Yimos HaMashiach, kan lo olam ba'ba. They're talking about two different time periods. One's during Yimos HaMashiach, one's talking about Yimos HaOlam Haba. What's the difference? So Rashi explains that once the Shibud has ended, so the or of the Levana will be like the or hachama. But la'asid lavo, when there's going to be the shine of the tzaddikim, the shine of the tzaddikim is going to be so luminous that it's going to overshadow, that it's going to overwhelm the light offered by the sun and the moon. Okay. So, that's the first test. But then the Gemara says, well, the Shmuel, but wait a second, according to Shmuel, the Amar Ein, Bein Olam HaVazel, the Yimos HaMashiach, HaLashit HaMachos Bavad, who holds that there's no, the only difference between Moshe Mashiach and Olam Hazeh is Shuva Malchus, is the pressure that we're going to be under due to the the secular kingdoms. So how is he going to understand it? Because clearly there isn't that much of a difference between Moshe Mashiach and during now. So how is he going to understand that? How is he going to rectify the stira? So he's going to say like this: Lo Kasha Kamachin Tzidikim Kamachin Shchina. They're both talking about Olam Haba. Just one is when in the camp of the Tzidikim, one's in Machane Shchina. What's the difference? So because the Ziv HaShchina is going to be, this is the way the Rashi explains it, because the glory, the light of the Shchina is going to be so powerful, it's going to overwhelm the light of the sun and the moon. Okay. Fourth and final stira that we're going to raise among the Amorim. Rava Rami Kisiv. So if you take a look, this is the very last one. This is on the bottom of page 3. It's a Pasuk in Devarim. So the Pasuk in Devarim writes, Pasuk Paraklam Beis Pasuk Lam Tes, Ru'u Ata, Ki Ani Ani Ha'ku, V'in Al-Kim Imedi, Ani Amis, I will put to death, and I will revive. I will smite, machatzi, I'll hit, or I will, and I will cure. So take a look at what Rava's gonna, how Rava understands this pasuk. So Rava, Rami, kasiv ani amis ve'echya, ukasiv machatzi vani erpa. So what's the problem over here? So it sounds like that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying Ani Amis Ve'Echya, the way the Rashi explains it is that the same way that I'm going to put a person to death, I'll bring him back to life. And therefore, what does that sound like? That however I put him to death, I'm going to bring him back. In other words, whether he has a mum or doesn't have a mum, he's going to come back the same way that I put him out, I'm going to bring him back. But then on the other hand, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to heal people's ailments. So are they going to, people going to have their mum, or people not going to have their mum? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mash ani memis ani mechaya. Sorry?
God's telling
you? Yeah, so this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, the pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. Ani amis ve'achya, right? I put to death and I revive. So how are we going to understand this? So he says like this: Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mash ani memis ani mechaya. Whoever I put to death, I'll bring back to life. V'hadar mash amachatzdi ani arpa. And whoever I injured, whoever I hurt, I'm going to heal. Okay. So that's how we're
putting them together, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, wait, there is Mumu or there isn't Mumu?
They're not going to be Mumu. By the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done, they're not going to be Mumu. Initially, there will be Mumu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll be cured. Okay. So let's go to the bias. Now we're going to go through some more makaros of Tchias Meis Min HaTorah. How are we doing for time? So we have to get moving a little bit. Okay. So here we go. So Tana Mara, Ani Amis Ve'Echya. Yachu Shrei Misa Ve'Echar V'Chaim Ve'Echar. I would think that the Pasuk is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a person who puts some people to death, and he brings life to other people. Kedar Shalom Noeg, as the world runs, that people die and people are born. Tamalomer Mechatzdi V'Nirpa. So that's why the Hemshech of the Pasuk teaches you that that's not how you understand the first part of the Pasuk. Because in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cure somebody, what had to happen to them first? They had to be sick. So therefore, in the pasuk says, "Machatzi v'nirpa mash ma mechitza refua be'echad." That's talking about the same person. Achmisa v'chaim be'echad. So what do you see from this pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring back to life the very same people who he put to death. Mikan shuva la'omrin she'ein tchias ha'meisim min haTorah. So here's a raya to say that you that tchias ha'meisim min haTorah. Okay, are we good? Tanya. Amar Reb Meir, minan lo tchis meis v'natorah, how do you know tchis meis v'natorah? Shenemar az yashir Moshe, uvnei Yisrael asa shira hazos. Then Moshe will sing, and uvnei Yisrael, this shira. So la Hashem shar lo nemar, the pasuk doesn't say, to Hashem he sang, ela yashir, then Moshe will sing. Well, when's Moshe Rabbeinu going to sing? So mikan lo tchis meis v'natorah. So from here you see tchis meis v'natorah. It's a projection into the future. Okay, if we have time afterwards, I'll tell you an amazing vart that I saw brought down from the Yalkut HaSefer. The Yalkut Sofer. Okay, so ki yotzei b'davar ata omer, similarly you'll say, az yivnei Yoshua mizbeach l'Hashem, this is after, I didn't put it in the Pesukim, I meant to put it in the Pesukim, this is after the Battle of Ai, right? So right after that, Yoshua is supposed to be building mizbeachos. It says, and then Yoshua will build a mizbeach l'Hashem. Bana lo namar, it doesn't say that he built it, ela yivnem. So mikan l'tchis ha-meisim min ha-Torah. So again, it's a projection to the future. So ela mi'ata, but if that's the case, how are you going to understand this pasuk by Shlomo Melech? Right by the pasuk where it says that his wives were straying him, it says, az yivneh Shlomo bama l'chmosh shikutz mo'at. That Shlomo, the way that we would have translated this passage, that he built a bama for Kimosh, that's the name, right, of the Geshka, shikutz mo'at, the abomination of Moab. So, Hachanami Yivna, what, you're going to tell me that Chas V'Shalom Shlomo Melech is going to build this Mizbech in the future? So, El Miata, Ella, Ma'ol, Abakasav, Kilubat. So, I'll tell you how we understand it. It just means that the Pasuk is referring to his Machshavos, that this is what he was planning on doing. That's why the Pasuk is bringing it down. It's just talking about what he was hoping, planning on doing. Okay. Amr Yishuv Ben Levi, Minayin L'Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. So, Shenemar, Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'Secha, Od Yehalulucha, Sel. They will continually praise you. So Hilalucha lo nemar, it doesn't say that they did praise you. Ela yehalalucha, they will praise you. Mikan l'tchis ha-meisim min ha-Torah. Rami Yishuv Levi, kol amar shir olam hazeh, if you say shir in this world, zocha v'amal olam haba, you'll be zocha to say it in the next world. Shenemar, asher yoshvei v'secha, od yehalalucha sel. Okay, here we go. Amar b'chi bar ava, amar yochanan, here's the third makor we're going to talk about for tchis ha-meisim, aside from the braksa. Minan l'tchis ha-meisim min ha-Torah, Shenemar, as the pasuk writes, kol tzofayich nasu kol, right? The voice of your tzofim, your people who have visions, who see, right? Nasu kol, they will raise their voice. Yachdav yiranenu, they will sing together. Wait a second. Rinu lo nemar doesn't say that they sung, ela yiranenu, they will sing. So we can't let chesam esim min haTorah. Okay. So now we're going to have this. Amar b'chibar Abba, Amar b'yochanan, asidim kol ha-nevim kulon lomar shira b'kol ha-echad. All the nevim and lots of love are going to sing in unison. Shenemar kol tzofayich, nasu kol, yachdav yiranei. Okay, so now we're going to take a short break from Tchias HaMeisim for this intermission of depriving your Talmud from Torah. Okay, so here we go. Amar b'yura amarat. Kol ha-mona halacha mipi ha-talmud. Any person who neglects halacha from his Talmud, it's though he's stealing from the inheritance of his father. Shenemar Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha ki las Yaakov. It's an inheritance. So morasha ki lakol Yisrael misheshes meibreshes. This was built into the Bria that the Jews are destined for the Torah. Not only that, the Marsha explains over here that every single Jew, it's built into the Bria from sheshes meibreshes that every Jew is roi to learn Torah. There's no such thing. That's why it's absolutely inappropriate. This is what the Gemara is saying. That's why it's inappropriate for a Rebbe to say that this Talmud isn't cut out for Torah. Because it's built into the Teva. Every person is right to learn Torah. Okay. Amr Chana Bar Bizna, Amr Shimon Chasida, Kol Amaneah Halach Mipi HaTalmud, any person who neglects Halach from his Talmud, Afilu Ubrin Shemei Iman Mekalim Oso, even the fetuses in the wombs of their mothers, curse that fellow. Curse that Rebbe. Shenemar, how do we know this? Moneah Bar Yikvu La'om. So what does this mean? How do we understand this pasuk? Now here's going to be an example. We're going to define a pasuk in terms of another pasuk. How do we know what the words in this pasuk mean? If you withhold bar, then yikvu la'om. Then the la'om will curse. Ve'ein la'om el ubrin. La'om is clearly a reference to fetuses. Shenemar ula'om mil'om yamatz, as we find by Yaakov and Esav. Ve'ein kava ela klala. And kava is a lashon of klala. Shenemar, as we know by Bilam, it says ma'akol. How can I curse this people? Lo kava kalashem. Hashem has not cursed them. Ve'ein bar, the lashon of bar in that pasuk, el Torah. Shenemar nashku bar pen yanaf. So, what do you see from here? So, what he's saying now is that if you withhold Torah, the Ubrin Shemayimon are going to curse this fellow. So, I saw a gevalik upshat from the Sanhedrin Katana about this. That what does it mean that the fetuses inside the mother are going to curse this Rebbe? Okay, so he says a upshat like this. The Gemara Nida discusses that during the when the baby's in utero, the mouth teaches the baby all kulatar kula, and then he taps it on the face and forgets all the Torah. So everyone asks the kasha. So why did you bother teaching all the Torah if you're going to make it forget? So what's the pshat? The pshat is that once you get Torah into your bloodstream, it's easier to recall it. So the Sanhedrin Katana says like this. So if a Rebbe comes along later and helps the Talmud recall it, matovu minayim. But if the Rebbe didn't come along and help the Talmud recall it, and you withhold Torah from his Talmud, so it was chaval al zman in the stomach. The Ober Mamish wasted all of his time learning all the Torah is for naught. So that's why the Ober Mamish are cursing this Rebbe. Okay. So back to the Gemara. Ula bar Yishmael Omer. Minach benoso kekvar. We puncture that Rebbe like a sieve. Ksiv hacha yikvu le'om. Uksiv hasam vayikov chor bedalto. You see that yikvu can mean to puncture. Right? A nekev is a hole. Right? Okay. Va'amar Abaye. And Abaye comes along and says, ki ochle de katari. Actually, we're going to puncture that Rebbe. That Rebbe will be punctured like the what's it like the grates almost that the laundromats of Katsari are launderers, right? Uchla are like those the way the Rashi describes it, it's kind of like showerheads almost that they used to pour water through these like hole type of these holified type of things like showerheads in order for the water to come through and they use it to launder the clothing that way. Okay, but either way, there are various pshatim that are given. One pshat that I saw for the kvar is that the kvar is different than a nafa, right? A nafa is a sifter, kind of, and a kvar is a sieve. And the difference between a kvar and a nafa is that a kvara is the kind of thing that holds onto the good stuff and lets the lousy stuff sink through. So the way that we're saying that it's mita keneged mita, that this Rebbe who withheld Torah from the Talmud, so we're going to puncture him like a kvara, because a kvara holds onto the good stuff and doesn't let any of the good stuff through. Okay, anyway. Okay. V'im limdo maschor. But let's say the Rebbe did actually teach. So what's the reward? V'amarava amar sheshes. So Rabbi quotes Rav Sheshes saying, "Zoch lebrachos ki Yosef." He'll be zoch the brachos like Yosef. Shenemar brach lerosh mashbir. What does that mean? What does mashbir in that pasuk mean? A brach will be lerosh mashbir. V'im mashbir el Yosef. Mashbir literally means a sustainer, right? A person who supports, a person who sustains. Shenemar v'Yosef hu hashalit al haaretz. He was the person who sustained. So why is it appropriate that a person, that a Rebbe who teaches his Talmud Torah, that he should get the brachos of Yosef, who was the sustainer? Because the same way that Yosef sustained his brothers with lechem, so lechem is to the guf, like Torah is for the neshama. So the Rebbe is entitled to the scar of Yosef. Where did I see that? I think I saw that from... Where did I see that? I don't remember. Okay. Either way. Fine, so Zakh the Gemara. So the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Sheshes. Kol malam Torah ba'olam hazeh, zocha umalam del olam haba. Shenemar umarve gam hu yore. Sometimes marve can mean intoxicate, like a kosi revaya. Here it seems to mean, a number of them of the parshanim on that pasuk and nach seem to understand it means to satiate. Umarve, the person who satiates, gam hu yore. He himself will be sated. Okay. Amarav minayin l'tchias amesim in the Torah. Now we're going back to tchias amesim. So Amarav minayin l'tchias amesim in the Torah. Shenemar yichi Ruvain v'alyumos. So it sounds superfluous, right? Ruvain will live and he won't die. So yichi Ruvain v'olam hazeh v'alyumos l'olam haba. Okay. Ravina Amar mihachi. He says from this pasuk, the pasuk writes v'rabim miyashene admas afar yakitzu eilu l'chai olam ve'eilu l'charpos l'deron olam. So what does that mean? Verabim and many miyasheni admas afar yakitu from the sleepers of the dirt of the earth, they will wake up. Eilu l'chai olam. Some will go l'chai olam, and some will go l'charpos, which is a lashon of curse, right? L'charpos l'deron olam for this be cursed or cursed and degraded world. Okay.
L'deron olam.
Sorry. L'deron olam. L'deron. I'm sorry. L'deron olam. Yeah. Literally means like a degraded world. Their own is a lesson of degraded. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha, he says from the following pasuk in Daniel, which is the very next, not the very next pasuk, a little bit later on. Vatolech laketz v'sanuach. So go to the end and rest. V'samod legarolecha, legarolecha, and you'll get up for your goal. Laketz hayamin. What does it mean? Laketz hayamin. So Rashi explains this based on the pasuk in where is it? In Eicha, I think. Yeah, the pasuk in Eicha where it says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu heishev achor yimino, that when Hakadosh Baruch Hu is taking steps back from the Jewish people, his right hand is behind him. But eventually, Mirz Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu bring his right hand forward. So that's what the pasuk is saying. I jumped back. Okay, here we go. So here we have 14 statements of Rav Elazar. Do we still have time? How are we doing for time? 26? Okay, so we have another 5 minutes. Do you think we can do it? Here we go. So let's plow through a little bit. Okay, so Amar Rav Elazar, Kol Parnas Shemandek Etz Atzibur Benachas, any Parnas, any leader, any community leader of the people who leads Benachas, Zochum Anahigam L'Olam Abba, he will merit and lead them L'Olam Abba. Shenemar, Ki Merachamam Yinah HaGeim, V'amabui mayim inahalem, that for the merachamim, the one who has mercy over them, he will lead them. V'amabui mayim, that literally means the streams of water inahalem will guide them. And by the streams of water, he will guide them. Okay. V'amar Rav Elazar, gedola deya shenidna, so this is number two. Gedola deya shenidna bein shtei osios. Deya is awesome, right? Great is deya. For it is found between two osios. What does that mean? Shenemar ki kel deos Hashem. So deos is in between kel and Hashem. Okay. V'amra, so deya, some understand that deya over here means deya as in yediyas Hashem, relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What are the two letters?
Oh, kel and Hashem, meaning Hashem's name.
Hashem.
Yeah, that's what it means here. Yeah. V'amra v'laz, number three. Gadol mikdash shenitam bein shtei osios. Great is the mikdash, for it is between two osios. Shenemar pa'ata Hashem mikdash Hashem konenu yodecha. Right, that the you created the mikdash. Right, you Hashem created the mikdash. Hashem konenu yodecha. It is established of your hands. Right, konenu is established yodecha, your hands. So again, mikdash is sandwiched in between shemos Hashem. Maskelar v'ada karkina'a. So Rav Ada Karkina asked the following question: Elmiata, so you'll tell me Gedol in Nekama Shenit Nabein Shtei Osios. We find that Nekama also found is in between two Osios, two Shemos Hashem. That's it. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. What does Hofia mean? So it means appear. Literally, I'm telling you because of the Hemchik Lemara. The Gemara's going to say Amalei Lemilsei Hachinami. No, Nekama is appropriate in its when it's appropriate. It is appropriate. At times, kedeula, the amar ula, shtei hofios halalu lama. Why does it have two hofios? Now, where does it have two hofios on the pasuk? It doesn't really have the word hofios on the pasuk. The way they read the pasuk is kel nakamos Hashem, kel nakamos hofia. The word hofia is going back on both nakamos. Kel nakamos Hashem, kel nakamos hofia. So the word hofia is going back twice. So why does it have it twice? Why is it supposed to be reflected twice? So, achas amidas tova, achas amidas pranas. One is for amidas tova, one is for amidas pranas. The way the Rashi explains it is that nekamos can be reflected in gemilas chasadim, in gemila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us with gemilas chasad. And the nekama can also be reflected in pranios to the gun. Okay. Statement number four. V'amar Rav Elazar. Kol adam sheyesh bo deya, kilu nivne beis mikdash b'yom. If any person who has deya, it's as though the beis mikdash was built in his days. Shezenitim bein shtei osios, vezenitim bein shtei osios. You link the two things that he said before, right? We find deya sandwiched by shemos Hashem, and we find the mikdash sandwiched in between shemos Hashem. Okay, number five. Vamar b'lazer. Kol adam sheyesh bo deya, l'sofmas asher. A person who has deya will ultimately become wealthy. Shenemer uvidas, and through knowledge, chadarim yimalu. Kolhon yikar v'na'im, that the rooms filled with kolhon, that's all treasure, yikar v'na'im, all precious and nice treasure. Okay. V'amar Rav Elazar, kol adam she'ein bo deya, any person who does not have deya, asa l'rachem alav, it's prohibited to have mercy on that fellow. And the Marsha has an interesting challenge. Shenemar, ki lo am binos hu, al kein lo yirachemenu oseo, for they are not an understanding nation, Memela al kain, therefore lo yirachemenu osehu, the yosru lo yichonenu, and its creator will not desire, not want. V'amar Rav Elazar number seven, kolin osin pito lemisha imbo daya, a person who gives his bread to a person who doesn't have das, yisurun ban alav, he gets calamities. Shenemar lachmecha, the person who, if you read the hemshek of the psukim, the context of the psukim, the person who eats your bread, yasimu mazor tachtecha, they will place mazor beneath you, ain't to nabo, as there is no understanding. What does mazor mean in the pasuk? Vein mazor el yisurin. Mazor means yisurin. Shenemar, how do we know it means that? Vayar Ephraim es chalyo, the Yehuda es mazura. Okay. Number eight. Vam Rav Elazar, kol adam she'en bo deya, any person who does not have deya, lesov gola, who ultimately be put into galus. Shenemar, lechem gola ami, why? Mibli da'as. My nation was exiled, mi b'li das, for they are without das. V'amar Rav Elazar, kol bayi she'ein divrei Torah nishmam bo b'layla, any house that doesn't have divrei Torah heard in it by night, eishach laso, a fire consumes it. Shenemar kol choshech tamon litzfon na'av, ta'achleyu eish lo nupach, a fire that's not, literally nupach, nafach is a lesson of blowing. In this case, it's like the fire was not fanned. If you didn't fan away the fire will consume. Yeira sarid ba'ahalo, yeira is a lesson of, right, obviously, Ra, that misfortunes will happen to the people. Sarid is a remnant, right? So, Yera Sarid Alo, the misfortune will befall the people who are left in the tent. And what does Sarid mean? Who's Sarid a reference to? In Sarid, Elatam Chacham, Shenemar Basaridim, Asher Hashem Kore. Okay.
I thought the problem was they didn't have Torah. Why is he a Tam Chacham?
Meaning, that's the point. It's Gufa because he's a Tam Chacham. There's no Torah heard.
That's
right. Okay. Vamar Kol She'ena Mahana Tamid Chacham in Achaz. If a person does not benefit Tamid Chacham with this property, in Rosam and Bracha La'olam, he's not going to see Simon Bracha. Shenemar, in Sarid Lachlo, there's no remnant for his food. Al Kain lo yachil tuvo, meaning no food was left for that for him. Al Kain lo yachil tuvo, therefore he will not achieve goodness. Ein sarid el tamid chachamim. Sarid in this case is tamid chachamim. Shenemar besridim asher Hashem kareh. Okay, number 11. Vamar Rav Elazar kol sheinam shayir pas al shulchanu. Any person who does not leave over bread on this table in or some bracha lolam, he will not see some bracha. Shenemar in sarid lachlo al kain lo yachil tuvo. He didn't leave any over any food, so meila he won't see. He won't achieve any tov. Oh, so that's the kasha, the gemara.
Just to show.
So the gemara says, "V'amar of Elazar, call him a shayar pt sim al shulchano. Any person who leaves over little pieces of bread on his table, kilo of avodah zara. It's as though he served avodah zara. Shneamar ha'archim lagad shulchan. Those who arrange a table, set up a table for God. That's the name of an avodah zara. V'amamalim limini mimsach, and those who fill up." Like a lashon of nisach, right? Nisach for mini, that's also an avodah zara. So you see that if you're putting this food on the table, you're dafka doing it to worship avodah zara. Like kasha, hadika shleim abadei, hadaleka shleim abadei. It depends if there's a shalim that's also with it. In other words, if you just have some crumbs left over, that's one thing. But if you left it over and you put on a shalim over there, that looks like you're leaving it over for an avodah zara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vam Rav Elazar, kol amachlek b'diburo, ki'ilu ovid avodah zara. So any person who literally switches around, he finagles his words, he obscures his words. Kilo avod avodah zara, it's as though he worshipped avodah zara. Kasiv hacha v'yisi beinav kematatea, that I will be in his eyes like a deceiver. Uksiv hasam hevel hema maasei tatuim. Okay, and that's a reference to avodah zara. So v'amar v'lazar, number 13, kol mustakel v'erva, any person who looks at the erva, Kishto nin eris, you will not be able to have children. Shenemar eriyote or kashtecha. Number 14, Vamar v'lazar lo'olam have a kabel v'kayam. Person should be reserved, he should be reticent, he should be unassuming, and he should live a long life that way. Amar Rebbe Zera, afanana metinin. In fact, we have a mission to support that. Bayis eifel, if you have a dark house, in poskim lochalonos, don't open up the windows, l'ros nik'o, in order to see the nega. What does this mean? In order for the Kohen, the way the Rashi explains it, right? In order for a Kohen to declare something a nega, he has to be able to see it. So let's say he can't see the nega. So we don't open up the windows. Don't open the windows, and you will be able to be pure from the nega. Okay.